भगवद्गीता 2.24 अछेद्योऽयम् अधायोऽयम् अक्लेद्यो शोष्येव च नित्यः सर्वगतः स्थाणुर् अचलोऽयम् सनातनः अछेद्योऽयम्. सो इन् द फर्स्ट् टु लैन्स् इन् 2.24 ए एण्ड् बि कृष्णा रियट्रेट्स् the points made in 2.23 in terms of the characteristics of the soul. So the first 2.23 said that the soul cannot be pierced by weapons. So Krishna is repeating that, but why can that not happen? He is repeating that in terms of the characteristic of the soul. Previous verse is talking about the impossibility of the actions. And that impossibility of the actions comes because of the corresponding characteristic of the soul, which is mentioned over here. So, just like we may say, okay, this particular object is waterproof. Water will not spoil this device. Why? Because it is waterproof. Because it has a waterproof covering, or because it has a waterproof lid, or waterproof case, or whatever. So, the point is, that something won't happen, that was mentioned in 23, and why it won't happen is mentioned in 24 over here. So achedyoyam nainam chinnanti chastrani, it won't, the weapons cannot penetrate the soul because the soul is impenetrable. Achedyoyam adahayoyam adahayo, the soul cannot be burned. It is unburnable, if we have a word like that. Akledyo, it is indissoluble, it is ashosha, it is unwitherable. Of course, there may not be words like that, but they can be improvised over here to emphasize the points. So now, after describing this, Krishna goes on and describes some other characteristics of the soul also. Nitya sarvagata sthanur achaloyam sanatanaha. Nitya is eternal. So that is basically like a summarization of what was told in the previous four characteristics. Because it cannot be destroyed by any other means, naturally it is eternal. Now come two interesting characteristics which are being mentioned for the first time. Sarvagataha and Sthanur. Sarvagataha. So now one translation of Sarvagataha could be that is all pervading. Now if we take that translation, there is a immediate logical problem that comes up. The soul is all pervading, then how can the soul go from one body to another body? It's just, if it's all pervading, then it's already everywhere. But it has said earlier that the soul gives up one, the soul transmigrates, the soul goes from one body to another body, the soul takes on one dress and it goes to take another dress. So basically the point that is made through that is, the soul, we know Krishna, that actually the soul does transmigrate. It goes, Krishna will talk later in the many places in the Gita, that actually the soul goes up, the soul goes down. So sarvagataha and achalo, if we take both of these literally as all pervading and immovable, then actually all pervading and immovable themselves are internally contradictory. Because if something is all pervading, then where can it move? It is already there. So in one sense, there is no question of it. It's being immovable will become a redundancy. Because if it's all pervading, it's already there everywhere. So there is no question of moving it at all. But then it has been repeatedly talked about, and it will be talked about, of how the soul does move. Urdhvam gacchant sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasa. In the 14th chapter, in the 18th verse, Krishna will talk about how the soul in goodness goes up, the soul in ignorance goes down, the soul in passion stays here itself. Or those who worship devatas go to the devatas, those who worship me come to me. So that the soul moves is clearly talked about in many places in the Gita. And the soul is at one place and then goes to another place. That is also talked about. Yanti deva vrta devan. Or for example, a brahma bhuna loka punaravartino arjuna. So maam apetitu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. That That means that the soul can go to any world, from the topmost to the lowermost, but then it has to come back. That means the soul goes up and the soul comes down. And if the soul goes to Krishna's abode, then it will not come back again. So the point again is that the soul's all-pervasiveness and immovability are actually rendered illogical if these meanings are taken literally. So the meaning here is not literal. The meaning is we have to understand contextually. Sarvagataha means not that it is already present everywhere, but rather it is capable of going everywhere. So the soul can go to the heavenly planet, the soul can go to the lower planets, and the soul can go into the lower species also, and the soul can stay in other bodies, other planets also. So sarvagataha, that means it is capable of going everywhere. Now actually this meaning of sarvagataha logically follows from Omnainam Shinnanam, from Achedyo Adahayo Aklidyo Shushyevacha, because we cannot go everywhere. If we go into fire, we'll get burnt. If we go deep into water, we'll get drowned. But because the soul is not affected by anything material, it is materially indestructible, therefore the soul can go everywhere. So sarvagataha means not that it is already present everywhere, but it is capable of going everywhere. And that also brings the point that life can be there on other planets also. All the modern science, all the current scientific mainstream holds that life is present only on the earth. But then even from the material perspective, we have not experienced even the nearest planets exhaustively. You may say that we have explored the surface of the moon or explored the surface of Mars and we have found no life there. But that itself assumes that life is present only on the surface. We are not dug deep under the surface of these planets, because there can be underground life forms in the form of germs and worms and other things. So now many times researchers conclude that life, that a particular planet is uninhabited. They conclude this not by exhaustively combing every mall of that planet, but by observing the atmospheric conditions of that planet in a number of places and extrapolating from these observations. That extrapolation is not always valid. That just because life is not present, living conditions are not suited in one part of the atmosphere, that means they're not suited all over the planet, and what to speak of under the surface of the planet. So even from the material scientific perspective, the case is not closed that there's no life on other planets. And from the spiritual perspective, when we understand that the soul is not affected by any material conditions, and that the soul can have bodies which are suited for different material conditions, then we understand that the soul can exist in various places. So on the sun planet, the sun can have a body which is suited for residence in the sun. Now we may think that at such high temperatures it's impossible to live, but even on earth there are thermophilic life forms which live at very extremely high temperatures, and they are a characteristic of, they are a type of extremophilic life forms, which are life forms which allow extreme conditions, extreme heat or extreme cold. So therefore, honest scientists will, all that honest scientists can say is that life as we know it does not exist on other planets. But the Bhagavad Gita itself makes it clear that life doesn't have to be as we know it. So life can, it means living bodies with their corresponding necessary living conditions can be widely different, because life itself is variable. Because life itself is something which is dependent on conditions which are changeable, because the soul is not affected by anything material. If the soul just gets the appropriate dress, the soul can be situated in the form of a body, then the soul can be situated in any situation. So, sarvagataha and achala, from this perspective, what they mean is that the soul is capable of going everywhere, living everywhere, and the soul is not affected, soul is not pulled by any material force to go any particular place. The soul goes by its own free will, by its own desire, it goes somewhere, wherever it goes. So, when the Yamadutas want to take the soul, they actually take their Yamapash, catches the subtle body and drag the subtle body. And the soul, because the soul is attached to the subtle body, the soul moves. So, the soul suppose a person is absorbed in watching the TV and a thief comes and steals the TV. Then the person is so caught in watching the TV that the person runs after the thief, not to catch and stop the thief, but to just go, just to follow wherever the TV is going. So like that, the soul is pulled because the material body is, but the subtle body is pulled. And the soul being attached to the subtle body goes wherever the subtle body is going. And in that way, the soul becomes entangled. Soul is moved from here to there. But otherwise, the soul is immovable. So again, the point of talking about sarvagataha and achala, if we look at the context, it's not to say that the soul is all-pervading, but if you look at the context, Krishna is saying how the soul is not affected by material conditions. Soul is not killed by any material weapons, not pierced by swords or burned by fire. So similarly, that point of the spirit being different from matter is emphasized by the fact that it is sarvagataha, that no material conditions can stop the soul from going there. And similarly, no material force can push a soul to go there. So when we see it in this way, then sarvagataha and achalo become make logical sense in their internal consistency and in their fitting in the broader context, that the soul can go everywhere. Soul is capable of going everywhere because it can survive anywhere, being unaffected by anything material. But at the same time, because the soul is unaffected by anything material, nothing can force or push the soul to go anywhere. And in that sense, it is achala. So thus, Krishna describes in this verse positively the characteristics of the soul in terms of it being unaffected by various material influences, forces and things. Thank you.